From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here tonight? Let's pray. Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word, I will believe. I wait for you. Draw near again.
Let your spirit be you,
and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you. Freely you gave it all for us, surrendered your life upon the cross. Great is your love you poured out for us. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life, forever our God is glorified. Seven and King, rescue the world. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. There are new every morning, new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, praise thy Father, tonight, words cannot express how grateful I am, how grateful we are. You bring us thus far, 14 years of ministry here in this beautiful country. Thank you for the battles. Thank you for the victories. Thank you for the challenges. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the purposes. Thank you for the plans. Thank you for your will. Thank you for your desires. Thank you for everything that has worked together for our good up to today. I stand here, God, on behalf of the church, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for being faithful unto us. We didn't know when we were born that you were going to bring us together like this. We are grateful and we are thankful that you did. It has not been easy, but it has been worth it. It's not going to be easy, but it is worth the race. It is worth the fight. It is worth the struggle. For at the end of it is eternity and is heaven, where the streets are made of gold, where mansions are built for those who faithfully serve you and worship you until the end of their days. Thank you for tonight. Lord, we are humbled. We don't want to just put up a show. We just want to soberly reflect on your greatness, your goodness, and the days ahead. I thank you that you're going to speak to us. I know we are not the same because we came into your presence tonight. We are living changed. We are living blessed. We are living encouraged. Thank you for this journey. Thank you for this call. Thank you for this purpose. We are so great. We are so grateful and so glad that you chose us and you called us. Bless your name tonight for many, many more years to come. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, God has been good. 14 years of ministry. I got an invitation to a man of God's 20 years in ministry. You know, it's fantastic. It's good to, you know, remember the things that God has done for you. Are you there? It's very good to remember. But it's also very scary because our way of remembering or our way of celebrating may be very, very different from how God sees things. In fact, the scripture says that God's ways are not our ways. You know, so for those of you who may not know, it is not our culture to celebrate anniversaries. You see, poor people say they don't have money, but they have money to spend on birthdays. I didn't get an amen from there. Yeah. People say, oh, I don't have money, but when it's wedding, they spend a lot of money. Yeah. You give them a free place to have their reception. They say they want police consumer something place where they will pay a lot of money. You know, so well, thank you for the leader God has given to us who does not want to spend money on food and drink when there are better things to spend money on. Are you with me? If you look at white people, they don't waste money. It's black people who waste money, but that which they don't even have anyway. And you see that with all the things they do, they are never bettered. Do you get it? So that's why it's a little light, you know, a little very light and a sober reflection. We have to ask ourselves, 14 years, how long have you been around? And what have you done? That's you see, on birthdays, for example, when is my birthday? I like to stay indoors, quiet. I don't want to answer phone calls. I don't want to reply to no text message. If you call me, you're wasting your time. Because on that day, I like to reflect, you know, how far I have come. What have I done well? What have I not done well? It's always very, Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So we don't want to celebrate until we finish the race. How many understand what I'm trying to say? You can't celebrate until you finish the race. And for us, heaven is where, if there's going to be a celebration, it's going to be a good celebration. We can't celebrate 14 years with a week-long activity at a culture center when God is actually not happy with us. What do you think? Because our standards of success is not God's standard of success. And so we might easily make a mistake to celebrate a little earlier than we must celebrate. And so in our church, we don't really do anniversary. Many churches around, they do anniversaries, they celebrate, they invite people. At least you leave with a box of food, which is very exciting. Anniversary food, anniversary cake, all kinds of things. But, you know, maybe in the future we'll celebrate anniversaries, but we are grateful that God will bring us thus far. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I just want to take you, refresh your minds about, you know, why we're here. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I don't think there's any other proper message for a day like this than John 3, 16. So the title of my message is John chapter 3, verse 16. Yeah. The reason why I'm here, and I've been here for 14 years, is John 3, 16. That's what it is. It's John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is why we are here. This is the reason why we are gathered. This is the reason why those out there must come here. Because there is a supernatural creator. There is a supernatural being called God who does not have to spend time or waste time on anybody. No, God doesn't need to take care of you, you know. God doesn't need to take care of me. We don't even remember him or give him what he's due. So God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, does not need to do anything for you and I. Because on a daily basis, we don't do anything for him. So we have to be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, that there is God. He's big, he's great, he's mighty, he's awesome. And this God has shown a love for the world. He has shown love to the world. He doesn't have to. God didn't have to, because he gave us our will, he gave us a choice, and we chose that. We made a bad choice. So normally when you give somebody options and they choose an option which ends up being a bad option, you don't look back at them. Yeah, that's the end of the story. So God did not have to love the world again after Adam and Eve. But the Bible says that for God so loved the world. Now, tonight, and as we celebrate anniversary, if we have something like that, I want to bring your minds to one of the greatest love ever that ever existed. You and I don't love more than two people in our lives. I'm talking about John 3:16. The scripture that almost everybody knows. But many people don't understand. That God so loved the world. The world is filled with almost 7 billion people. And God loved the world. You and I cannot love more than two people. Or three. Some of us, our love does not go beyond the people who bear the same names. But it is God loving the world that brought Shepherd House or Lighthouse Chapel International into Guyana for you to be here and for me to be here. It is the love God has for the world. So people need to hear about, because you see, many people are not loved. Many people need love. Many people are looking for love. Many people misinterpret love for lust and sex. But you have to be alive in marriage for a few years to realize that life is not just sexual intercourse. Toya, yeah, you and your husband. It's not. We are serving a God who has actually opened his heart to the whole world. And many people do not know that there is this God who has room for many people. That is why he sent us here. That is why we are here. And there are so many people out there, they need to come and experience that love, that so love the world. He's the greatest. I said he's the greatest. Because you and I know 7 billion people to love 7 billion people, none of us can do that. And our love is very conditional. If you do well, I love you. If you don't do well, I don't love you. Yeah? Real thing. But the Bible says, but God commended his love towards us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. In that while you and I were still bad people, Christ Jesus died for us. It's a love that sticks to or stands in for bad people. I'm saying that today I want to remind you about the God kind of love that loves more people, that loves unconditionally. We are Christians and we are church people, yet our love is not God's love. I was listening to a pastor today. He was saying that he was talking about the eagle's anointing. They say that our God is like an eagle. He carry on eagle's wings. So an eagle gives birth to eagles. So God, when God is up there, you are down there. You are not God's child. You can't be God's child when God is up and you are down. Hallelujah. Yeah, God is up there. He said that he will carry us on. Please, people praise. Oh, please carry us on wings like as eagles. So we are, our Father is referred to as an eagle. So we are also supposed to be eaglets. But we don't go up there. We are down. Yeah, that can't fly. Wings that cannot fly. That's not your story in Jesus' name. So we need to remember that all that we may celebrate or we may quietly, be grateful about is a God who has a love that is wide. Jesus loved the little children. All the children of the world. Tivon. Red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. You think it's a joke? You will not be here if not for the love of Christ Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The only place where we can be together is in the church. And therefore,
okay, you clap when you finish.
There is no other place where you sit down for anybody to tell you anything you don't want to hear. That is why sometimes you actually show it. That's why you walk past people straight. Because to you, you don't even recognize that the church, you can't do that. You want to bring the world things inside the church. But here is gathered a group of people who have been shown great love. For God so loved the world. Now, if we can love 5 people in our lives, it will be great. Oh. 5 people who are not related to us. 5 people who don't do anything for you. 5 people who are not in your category. 5 people who are a little disgusting. 5 people who, if we could just
carry a little bit of the Father's love and carry at least five people who you can't stand. But I don't read in the Bible that the God can't stand some people. For God so loved the world, full of people, diverse people. We are very selfish to be God's children. We are very alone to be God's people. We should be. I was teaching some people last night. I said, you see, when we talk about a shepherd is somebody who has sheep. We are tired of people who say they are shepherds and there's no sheep.
Do you think you have God's love?
It is that exercising of God's love that even make people come closer.
You see, everybody's looking for something. If they find it with you, they stick with you. If they don't find it with you, they stay away from you.
So those that are saved, you and I, are supposed to have that thing that draws people to us.
If you don't have it, I question what kind of spirit lives in you.
Because our God loved the world so much.
Think about it. 7 billion people. How many continents? Six?
Do you think it's easy to love Caribbean, people from the Caribbean? Even we don't even love ourselves.
Beijians don't love us. They think that we are poor and we are coming to do prostitution in their country. Trinidadians don't like us. We don't like Jamaicans. They also don't like us. We don't like ourselves. They say common
Caribbean.
Single market economy. But it's not so. If you go 6 months, you have to come back. If you don't come back in 6 months, you don't go there again. There's no like single market. A border is never a single market for nobody. You cannot just go and just say you are working and you can live there. No, there's still boundaries.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is not easy to love 7 billion people. To love people who don't even believe that you exist. To love people who don't acknowledge you that you are around. On this 14th anniversary, if only we will remember a little of the love God shows us to show one another.
I think the church will be a nice place. I think Guyana will be a nice place. I think our communities will be a nice place. Our societies will be a nice place.
Greatest love has been shown to us by God. God also has loved the greatest number of people. He holds the crown of the only one who has loved more people than anybody else.
Can we go on a love challenge? Yeah. I know we are doing Ida challenge and we're doing all those challenges, but can we go on a love challenge on this 14th anniversary?
How many people do you love? Can you take a picture with them and put it on Facebook? Take a selfie with them? How many will you get? I wonder even if your family will, you do even take a selfie with you. Seriously, let's do a love challenge.
Oh, you don't want to go on the challenge with me?
No, let's seriously consider a love challenge. Forget about all those fancy things you put on Facebook. Let's go on a love challenge as a Christian. That things, bush things you put on your status, the bush things you put on it, let us change that and let's do a love challenge. And that shows you really how you're going to stand before God when you die. When you love people, you give something. You give your very best to people you love. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. I will love you, but not my very best. It's like, this love I'm giving you is enough. What more do you want? Yeah. At least I give you something.
Something is better than
nothing. But not only does God love the world, he also gave his precious gift. Only. Not that he had two and said, you know what, let me just, two is a lot. Let me just dash one. What do we give God, Natasha? We should ask ourselves. Offering, we won't give. Energy, we won't give. Time, we won't give. What? Family, we won't give. What do we give? No, let's do this love challenge, oh. But if we are God's people, if we are God's children, and we are going to really live like God's people, then we need to also be able to give our very best. Because we can't have a God who gives his best and then he has children who don't give their best or don't even understand what to give. That is why we demand so much from you sometimes, if not all the time. That we can't give less. You have 5 days in a week you work. You have 7 days in a week. The day is made up of 24 hours. How many of the 24 hours do you give to God? Or do you give to people because of the love of God you have experienced?
I was watching, is this Steve Harvey in Ghana? You know, our president came here. He said, the year of coming home. So Steve Harvey went to Ghana. Danny Glover is also there. And then Steve Harvey, they are doing some businesses in Ghana. It's like they want to give back. What are you giving back? What are you giving back? For God so loved the world that he gave.
You see, the most important person in this life, in this world, even loves people.
Think about it. Think about it. How important are we that we don't even have time to love people?
That's why we should really love and serve God. Because of all his greatness, he still has time to love 7 billion people. He still has time to listen to people's prayers that are not important. We thought he was busy. The Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumber. How many of us can engage people so much that you are tired but you don't want to rest because you still love people, you still want to. You hardly find these things in life. Unless somebody is paying you some salary. You work your butt out. 24 hours. Overtime. Shift. Because you're getting money in return. But how much do we give ourselves to God and give ourselves even to people on a daily basis? By the time you wake up, everything you're doing is for yourself. There's not even time to pray to God and say thank you. Then you are on your way, you are doing what you have to do during the day and all of that. Then when you come in the evening, you say it's family time, rest, and then TV, and then getting ready for the next day. You look at how there is no love in your heart. Can we, on this 14th anniversary, love other people too? Can we love others too? Can we give our best to others too? Like our Father is doing? Or you want to still live your life by yourself and to yourself and within yourself? You know what I've learned? In life, especially in Guyana also. When something is in the interest of people, they wake up. When it's not in their interest, they sleep. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that when something is in your interest, you rise up from the dead. If it's not directly linked to your happiness or something, you don't understand what is going on. True or false? God wants us to change. Very selfish. It's just with us. If it's not going to help us, going to do something for us, we don't care. But the Bible said, "Our God loved the world." So you see, I don't know why some of you are applauding. They say, "Yeah, me." What I'm doing or what I've done, it's not enough to me. And I've not done anything. Because the amount of love and the investment this our God invests in us, I don't think I've even done anything for me to be recognized in His presence that I've done something. Now, if you are applauding for me and I think that I've not done anything, then I don't know what you want to say about yourself. Because I don't know what you are plotting. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We don't give. We don't give our best. We don't give our time. No. And He has made things so easy for us. Do we make things easy for others? You see, people begin to talk to you about when you talk about Christianity, when you talk about heaven, when you talk about born again or you saved, they say, but I don't do anything wrong. Why would I go to hell? I don't do anything bad. Because people's mindset is that to go to heaven, you need to do everything right. Now, you can't do everything right in the sight of God. So He has lowered the mark. It's not like CXC that 1-3 makes you pass. Ungraded, in the eyes of God, ungraded is a pass. So He has made it so possible that all that you need to do is just believe. Ask for belief, it's not expensive. Ask for belief, you don't have to buy it. Ask for belief, it's not something you can't bring. Ask for belief, it's just in your heart. You just have to exercise your belief. He has made eternity and going to heaven so easy. On a day like this, how easy do we make it for others to come to church? How easy do we make it for others to live a better life? How easy do we make it for others to come to get to know Jesus Christ? Some of you don't even want to go and call anybody to church on a Sunday morning. It's something you don't even want to do. How easy? How easy do you make people's life in a church? How easy do you make people's life outside? Some of us, the way you are in your neighborhood, they won't believe that you are a part of a church. No, they don't believe you. The way they know you at work. That's why nobody from your workplace is here. Because they'll be very surprised to hear that you are inviting them to a church. Think about our God on a day like this. He loved the world so much. He gave. And He says that whosoever, you don't even have to be... You don't have to be important. This is the message that He wants us to take into the world. That no matter who you are, He wants you to come around. He wants you to come around.
wants you to come. Say, come unto me. Come. Are you an easy person to come around? Come. Can people come around you? Are you that open? Are you that? So I'm not a people person. You're going to go to hell. So this is your not people person thing you are talking about.
He says, only believe. Come. Only believe. Come. Come. You don't have to pay money. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be beautiful. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to live in a very good. You don't have to be an old guy. You can come and sit in church and sleep and still, I love you, Jonathan. He doesn't like the love, so he's not saying it. Now, you compare our timing and our season to those in the old days and how God dealt with them. He loved them, but he didn't spare them if they made an error. The Bible, the Old Testament, is littered with all kinds of punishments God meted out to people who didn't follow the things that he wanted them to do. Right there. He brought fire down on a whole number of people. He did live barbecue. I tell you, if it was in our days, it would be Facebook Live. Yes, you see fire coming. People running. CNN is there. Even the cameramen are being bent. You have to run. Everybody was on fire. Yeah. Have you even heard some before? Where a whole town, a whole nation is set ablaze. This one, no matter the bunker you have, you can dig down in your foundation and have a bunker. Fire will catch you good. That's how he used to deal with the people then. And now, he says it doesn't matter. He says, even it doesn't matter what you have done. He says, you come. Same God. Look at how he has changed towards the world. That's why the Bible said that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 17. You go to 18. He said that this is the condemnation. Are you giving to me? This is the condemnation. Where is it? And this is the condemnation. That finally God has brought everything so low, so open, so wide, so vast, so extensive, and yet people don't want it. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It is only evil people who reject such an extensive love, such an undeserving love, such an unconditional love. People need to hear about this great love. People need to hear about it. Easy, because in our normal life, it's not very easy to make a mistake and not feel that you've made a mistake. Or? You can't live in this world and make mistake and just go scot-free. Oh, you feel it. You hear it. You know about it. Our God offers us a no remark or remark-free love. Yeah. No. You see, it is so much. It is too much. that you will not be excused why you did not tell somebody about such a great extension of love for people. The reason why God is going to judge you and I is that we did not extend to others what we are receiving.
That he will look at you, Maui, and love you. And you look at somebody and say, you know what? You don't have to come to church. Because that's what we are saying. If you invite somebody to church, it means that the person doesn't have to come to church. That you can come, but they can come. And we are like that. When we get an advantage, we only want to enjoy it ourselves. We don't want anybody to come around. Again, like Brother Tony said, it's selfishness. It's for me.
Let me enjoy it. Even if it's a lot of money, you want to live long and spend the money, not to give anybody some of the money. Yeah.
If it's food, you want to eat and put the rest in the fridge for later. Because you're saying, what is going to happen to me tomorrow if I give it away? You're forgetting that tomorrow may never come for you. Never come for you. You see, our neighbor died the other day. And he has a decent house. All of a sudden, people have moved into the house that we've never seen before. I tell you. There's some big man, a big old man, I think he's probably in his late 50s or something, with a big natty dread. You know natty dread? Big one covered in this black thing they cover it with. And you hear him play reggae music now and then and smoking weed in there. I've never, for all the years we've been living in this place, I have never seen this particular guy ducking the shadow of the... I've never seen him. But now, he's the one staying upstairs. The day the man died, the guy moved in. I'm suspecting it's his oldest son or something. I never saw him when the man was sick downstairs there. He was always sitting in front of the door feeding cats and just sitting down almost like all day and all of that. I never saw this natty dread guy come around. It's almost as if when you do anything, you do it for people. If you don't have heart for people, you can't do anything in this world. God forbid, if you die, do you think your car... So somebody will drive it. You'll be very surprised. The person who drive will be somebody you will not never give the car to if you don't make a will. Yeah. There's a young lady who used to come to our church. Her mother died. And I was so shocked. The amount of money and riches the mother left for her. She was an only child. I hear the mother had gold in some safe something. The mother had things, but she was working as around like some nobody. Yeah. And this young lady inherited everything. Today, she has nothing. One of the things she did was she bought a vehicle. And there was the boyfriend was the one who used to drive the vehicle. Yeah. Everything you do, you have to think about it. You are doing it for people. You may not acknowledge, you may not even realize it, but you are doing it for people because you think about it. What? You start a business? It's people you're going to do it for. Somebody is going to be taking some money out of your business and you won't even know. Whether you like it or not. So it is better to consciously do things for people out of the love God has shown us. Let us consciously love people, consciously open up to people, consciously invest in people, consciously make things easy for people. Yeah. No, you'll be surprised who will benefit from your hard labor as you are here today. You're very surprised. Unless you write it in your will and say, you know, when I go, don't let Elizabeth come to the house.
Not a dollar.
But then you could, even that, you are gone. Yeah. Somebody will give Elizabeth something.
Yeah, in Ghana, most it has happened several times where parents or fathers will say, when I die, I don't want this my son to come to my funeral. But you are dead already. Don't come to my funeral. I mean, when your father says that, it's a very serious thing. And many people, they listen, they obey. They don't go for the funeral. But some also go. Get up and come and drive them out of the funeral, away from the funeral. Yeah. Get up and come and say, hey, what are you doing here? Didn't you hear I say you shouldn't come? And back in the Ghana culture, people will give donations. And then we share the donations. And that person will get some of the donations. Even though you said that they shouldn't come to your funeral. They will even do their funeral privately somewhere and collect money. You know, I told you in Ghana, you can use a death certificate and go for a loan at the bank, right? The bank will give you a loan with a death certificate. They know you pay, within a week you pay. Yeah, oh, because donations will come so much that you make money. So people like to, if somebody gets hold of your death certificate, they are gone. Oh, it's big time money. It's a collateral. Yeah, if they take you to the bank. Yeah, so when you die, your death certificate, you shouldn't let it go around. Yeah. It's very, very precious. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him. The greatest invitation. How many of us have been invited to important parties before? There are some important parties. They invite everybody else but us, but you. Yeah. You know, every weekend there are parties around that we don't know about. Yeah. There are people who are meeting in places and eating and drinking, you know. Yeah. Oh, you and I are here in church praying and singing and dancing and listening to messages. Some people are partying every weekend here, there, and everywhere. Oh, important people are meeting people. People are signing contracts. People are making deals. People are getting some worldly and earthly opportunities. Charlie, you and I, our lives are very different. That's why. Yeah. People are meeting at Princess. I'm meeting at one Marriott, Pegasus, lunch, functions. You go. You see, you know, Marriott, you can go there and act as if you've come to do something. You can sit at the lobby and be there all day. Nobody will ask you anything. Drink a bottle of water. She knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure she's done that before. Drink a bottle of water. Goldfinger, you took your wife there to go and drink a bottle of water. Sit down there, just take a bottle of water and just watch things move up and down. You realize, hey, people have things, so. So God decided to also throw a party for those who don't get invited, especially. And this invitation is the invitation is from one of the important, most important people in this life. He says, whosoever, send the invitation cards to whosoever. Beggars, those who are sick, those whosoever. Big wedding. Yet people don't respond. Some people don't even know that they've been invited. Have you come across somebody who has good news, but they don't even want to hear the good news because they don't believe that good news is for them? How many of you have come across somebody like that? Some benefit, some opportunity. They don't want to hear because they think you are lying to them. They can't believe it. That something like this exists and it exists for them. On a day like this, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to remember that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's about souls. That's why we came here. It's always going to be souls. It's always going to be about other people. It's always going to be about the welfare and the destiny of people. It is always going to be that. Let us not forget.
Let us not just come to church and then the rest of the days of the week, we go about our own selfish individual business. Our lives must be lived purposefully for others. For God so loved the world. Purposefully for others. For God so loved the world. That he gave. I believe that if all of us are going to really jump on this, another 14 years will come and God will say, man, my love for the world is being felt and it's being experienced. Stand to your feet tonight. Oh God, so love the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believes will not perish. They shall have eternal life. For God, so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believes will not perish. They shall have eternal. Father, thank you again for opening our eyes, for showing us love that you don't have to show us, for giving us an invitation that is so mind-blowing, accommodating so many of us that you don't have to accommodate, having a love that is enough for so many people in this world. Today we remind ourselves of this great love that we have to also take into our homes, our communities, our workplaces, and wherever you have placed us. I pray, oh God, for the church is that we will not take these opportunities for granted to share the love of Jesus Christ with so many, many people. Thank you that those who were able to come tonight, Father, heard my voice, we partake of this calling and this mission and this purpose. And our souls that are about to perish at the end of this month will be saved, because we will remember that you love the world and give the world your only begotten son. May we give our best. May we give our holy things, the things that we cherish so much. May we be able to be give it up for you and for your kingdom and for your church's sake. Thank you again for 14 years. I honor you. I bless you. In Jesus' name.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.